My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread hope and encouragement to people around the world. Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this month's series on four parables. We want to tell you how grateful we are to be in your homes every week. We would love to have you invite your friends, family, and neighbors to join us. A special part of Dad's day was hearing from you, our viewers, and reading your letters. Today we do the same. Recently we heard from a viewer in Minnesota that reads, "Thank you so much for continuing CWH. I may have heard some sermons before, but it's new every time for me. I feel like I am with family. I learn something new each week, and I feel blessed and refreshed." We hope today's service on the parable, The Ten Virgins, will be of comfort to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy we can come and worship with you today. And wherever you are, any part of the world, we're all drawn at one place, and that's the feet of Jesus. And we just approach him, and we draw nigh. We're not afraid to draw nigh. He says to just come, and we're all gathered together at one place with our wonderful dear Jesus. And we're going to be talking about one of the parables again today. We're going to talk about the ten virgins, and they have some lessons for us, and so it'll help us in our Christian living, I'm sure. But we're reading from Psalm 32 today, where the psalmist says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be in the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Heavenly Father, we rejoice. We rejoice whenever we can get together and worship your name. You said that if there are only two or three gathered together in my name, you'll be in the midst of them. And so we know that there are thousands upon thousands all over the world, and we're gathering together with you, and you're with us, and you're with them. Every one of us that love you and trust you. And those who don't know you, oh, today may they become a part of that family of God through faith in the dear Lord Jesus. So bless this service and use it to your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior and friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more."
Thank you, Melissa. And that's what it's all about, knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, and walking with him. And I've known the Lord 85 years. Think of that. And there's times I've drifted, and there's times I haven't been as close to the Lord as I should be. But he never has forsaken me and never taken his eye off of me and never left me. Because once he enters your heart, he will never leave your heart. He'll be there forever. And so that wonderful Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, the longer you walk with Jesus, the sweeter it gets, the more wonderful he is. And you can just talk to him. And you can maybe in the middle of the night and you can't sleep and you're restless and you just talk to the dear Lord Jesus. And if you're like I am, I live alone, I can talk out loud. And I know you're maybe with others and you'd be talking like that. Well, they think you're talking in your sleep, so go ahead. But it doesn't matter. Jesus is there and he's sweeter as the years go by. Well, our letters, we're just so happy to have letters today. And we thank you for writing, and I hope more of you will write. And I'm going to read some of the letters, and then I'm going to give the address. So you get your pencil and paper, and maybe you can write us a letter. And let us know you're praying for us. Maybe send us a gift, because we have to pay our bills like anybody else. And so we just love to hear from you anywhere in the world, and we'll answer your letters. So if it's a letter, but if you're just sending a gift, it's hot, we'll send you a receipt, so you'll hear from us. Well, the first letter is from Pierston, Indiana. And these folks write and say, I want to thank you very, very much for how your teaching has blessed my wife and I, but especially my beloved grandma. She passed away in April 2015 at the age of 104. She was a very regular attender of her local church, but when she developed severe mobility problems, she stopped going to her church and began watching the Christian Worship Hour each and every Sunday for several years. You folks really blessed her a lot. She loved your old-time preaching. Now my wife and watch you about every Sunday while we get ready to attend our home church. So this is one of the big things of the Christian Worship Hour. We can be the church for people that can't get out. Now if you can get out and get around, you ought to be in church. Find a church where they're preaching the Bible, and you just visit around until you find one where they're teaching from the Word of God, and then you get in there, and you know the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So the church needs you, and you need the church, but there comes a time when you just can't do it, and so we'll gather together, and we'll pray, and the Lord is with us just as though you're in a mega church. He's just as close to us, maybe closer, I don't know. But anyway, we're just so happy about these folks that we can minister to. Here's Hutchinson, Kansas. I tell my friends about your service. I have a friend from 1972 that now watches your program. When we talk by phone and talk about parts of your sermon, we both take notes, and if one misses something, the other one catches it. And so you'd be surprised the number of people that get together afterwards, and they're in different parts of the country, and they'll write to each other and call each other and talk about the service and visit with each other, and it just brings them together. Every week they can be together. They can be at that one point, the feet of Jesus, at the throne of Jesus. And that's just so wonderful. Here's Tripp, South Dakota. Thank you all for the years your program has blessed my family. When my mother could no longer go to church, she listened to you faithfully. Then when my husband became confined to home, a nursing home, we watched your TV program until he passed on to heaven. Now my invalid sister watches you faithfully through her eye, though her eyesight is poor. I believe people like your service because of the simplicity of the gospel message, which you can relate to. May God continue to bless you as you serve him with your life for so many precious years. Thank you. And you know what we do? I couldn't get fancy if I had to. We just preach the Bible and preach it so the children understand it. And we hear from children. I don't know if we've got one of the letters today, but we get letters from children who write in. And so we just make it so that anybody can understand it. And that's because it's the Word of God and it can be just as plain as day. And Jesus talked in parables and stories and illustrations, didn't he? Did that a lot. Well, let's see. Here's Pocahontas, Iowa. Thank you for leading my husband to Christ. For over a year, we watched your program together, and he learned about the Lord. Now I wait to join him. Now I want to tell you something. Here's a dear brother that for a year listened to the service, and God spoke to him through that word of God, and the Holy Spirit applied it to his heart, and he opened his heart to Jesus. He was born again, and he was saved from hell. Now I want to tell you something. Whatever you send, whatever, whenever you pray, you have a part in this. We couldn't do it without you, and you can't do it without us. It takes two of us. It takes us all together. And so when you give, you're making an investment. And here's somebody in heaven because you prayed and because you gave. And I say both because both are important, to pray and to give. And some of you don't have much, and I know that. And so you can pray. There's power in prayer. And some of you have a lot, more than you'll ever spend. And so God will just talk to you, and it'll all work out fine. So we just thank you for that letter, and praise the Lord that we're going to meet this brother in heaven. Here is Clear Lake, Iowa. Thank you so much for your wonderful messages about heaven. Some of the things you talked about I knew, but there were several that were new for me. I have complete peace going about to be with the Lord, but now I know better what to expect. I am in the final stages of COPD from having asthma so bad when I was younger. I would love to receive the new song. I look forward to seeing you in heaven someday and look forward to shaking your hand. God bless you and your ministry staff. Well, we'll look forward to meeting you and shaking your hand too. And so, that'll be a great get-together. I tell you, it's going to be exciting. And who knows, from all parts of the world, we'll all get together, and we'll be in heaven. We'll sing in the praises of God and worshiping together. And here they're saying that they would like to have the new song. Now, the new song is a little publication we put out every month, and it's a little Bible study. And some of these people use it for Sunday school classes. Others will send it to friends. But every week, every month, it'll have a new Bible study. And it's written so you can understand it. We don't add a lot of theological terms. We just have good theology because we're using the Word of God. Everything is established by the Word of God. It's not man's word. It's God's word. And so you get your pencil and paper, because I'm going to give you the address pretty soon here, and we'll send it. And also, in the new song, we have excerpts from letters that people send us, a whole list of them. It's just exciting. It's thrilling to hear from these brothers and sisters all over the world. And you can get copies of that, free and postpaid. And then also we have the titles of the sermons, and we have the scriptural lessons to go with them. So you can study, you can read that lesson. Then when I preach, you can say, now, let's see, is he staying on the right line here? Is he doing it right? And if I'm not right, and tell me, and send your gift, of course. Then write and tell me about it, and we'll check it all out. Here's Delray Beach, Florida. God bless you, Pastor, and all those who serve with you. When you no longer can go to church and church comes to us, it's an amazing blessing. I especially enjoy the letters. So here's where you folks come in. We get so many say, I just love to hear from other people. And this one is from Delray Beach, Florida. Especially enjoy the letters. You reach so many needy people. Thank you for helping me to believe that my youngest brother, who ended his own life, I will meet him in heaven. God is good. And what she's talking about is a little pamphlet that we have, and it's entitled, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Will He Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes. If you're born again and commit suicide, you go to heaven. And get your pencil ready, and you can get the address for us. And we send that out. It's about 14 pages, little booklet, and it's free and postpaid, and it's all scripture. Everything is based on the Word of God. Word of man doesn't mean 2 cents. And so you just go by what God says. Well, let's see. Great Falls, Montana. Hello, and God bless you. You are meeting your goal of a closer walk with God in my life. Thank you. And so here it is. See, grow in grace and a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, you do it by listening to the Bible, reading Christian books, singing hymns, going to church where the Bible's preached. A lot of ways to grow in grace. And then you serve the Lord and in Jesus' name, and that'll help you to grow. Oh, that's great. One more, Davenport, North Dakota. Oh, yes, here's one from the children. Hi, it's me, Livia. I'm sending $29 from what I have tithed from my allowance. Please use this for your ministry. I still pray for you every day. The triplets are good. She has triplets, two brothers and a sister. And Olivia is 7.5 years old, and the triplets are all, they're all the same age, would you guess it? They're triplets, and they're 4.5 years old, and they're all together. And here's this Olivia. Now, she's written before. She says, guess what? I just finished first grade. Oh, my dear Lord. God bless you. Love, Livia, 7.5 years old. Now, there's so many things here in this letter. For one thing, look what she's doing. She's sending $29 from her tithe. Her parents have taught her that 10% of everything you get belongs to the Lord. That's what my mother taught me. From as long as I can remember, if I got 10 cents, so there's a penny went to the Lord. And you need to teach your children that, because I tell you what it does. For one thing, it's scriptural. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And that was before the law. Sometimes you say, well, that's law and I'm under grace. Well, the tithe was given before the law was given on Mount Sinai. So you can't get behind that. And you shouldn't be compelled, because what you are saying is, when you get that paycheck, you take out 10% and you're saying, dear God, I'm putting you first. And I'm making you the Lord of my life, and I'm showing this by what I give, see? So you tithe. Teach your children to do that. And then the other thing is, she's here with the triplets, and she's finished first grade, and so she's helping them about Jesus. And they have some little Bible lessons I sent them, and this just thrills my soul. And see, here's her little child saved, but a whole life is saved. And what will this little Livia do? God has something planned just for her, and it'll be exciting when we get to heaven and everything is done. We'll see. So we thank you for the letters, and we just appreciate that so much. And if you want to help us in the work, if you want to order some of these things, the new song or the little study booklets, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to make a gift on the internet, you can do that. You just get to christianworshiphour.com. And then on there, there'll be a paid donate, and you hit that thing. It'll say PayPal, and then you can put anything you want from any part of the world. We'll get it in United States money, and we'll pay our bills. And so you can help us that way. And then I want to also encourage you to write if you have some question about your salvation. Many times people write and say, I'm not sure I'm saved, and how can I be sure? And we have a little booklet, about a 14-page booklet on Can I Lose My Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. Once saved, always saved. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, get our little book and read it. It's all Bible. Then let me know how you feel. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. And all of you on shortwave, we just hope that you'll write to Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. God bless you. So now I'm going to pray, then Jan is going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Just ask him what he wants you to do. If he wants you to give anything, if he said yes, say how much and go ahead. Take it from there. So Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have supported this work for almost 40 years. Thank you for those who stood by, and many of them are gone to glory, but new ones come on the scene. New ones arise and carry the load. For them we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from Matthew 25 today, if you have your Bibles, and I know that some of you do. I know some of you get ready just like you're getting ready for church. I hear from some of you writing, they say you get your Sunday clothes on, you get all dressed up, and you come, and then you sit there, and that's your church, and you have your Bible, and some of you have hymn books, and you try to find some of the hymns, and just have a little worship service. So it's Matthew chapter 28, beginning with the first verse, and this is one of the parables that Jesus gave. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell, buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" In our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. The Billy Graham Association has just made a report that of all of the places where the persecuted church is persecuted the hardest place on the earth to live the Christian life is North Korea. And now we are so thrilled to death that we are on a new shortwave radio, and we come in strong in North Korea, North and South Korea, and some of the other nations. But we can preach the gospel, and we're going to have emphasize comfort for the persecuted church. And we're going to be thinking about them, so we're going to pray for them in our prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this parable you gave. And Lord, we wouldn't know any of these things if it hadn't been that you revealed it to us. You revealed it through your Son who came and gave these wonderful teachings. And how that you spoke through men of God, holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so that the Bible is the Word of God. It's written by man, but it's sent by God. The author is God. And so we know how you think and how you feel and what pleases you and what doesn't please you. And the great promises you have, we have it all because you have revealed it to us and given it to us. And for that, we give you thanks. And we pray, dear Lord, today that as the message goes out, as we think about this parable, that we will be numbered among the wise who are prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And the preparation is up to us. Nobody can do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. And if we don't do it, it won't be done. And we'll suffer loss like these unwise virgins who never were entered into the feast and who are a picture of those who are lost for eternity because they didn't have Jesus Christ. And we know there's a heaven, dear Lord. We know there's a hell. That's what you taught us. And if we're not prepared, if we don't have Jesus as our Savior, if we're not born again like you tell us in your word, there's going to be a place of torment forever and ever. And we don't have to go there because here people are hearing it right now. They're hearing the message right now. And they can come to you and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so we just pray that there'll be multitudes who will do that. We do pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. And dear Lord, help them to take heart and help them to know that we're praying for them. And help them to know that even though maybe they don't see your hand at work, yet you are there and you are by their side. And you're going to honor them for their stand and for their witness for you. So help them not to give up, but take heart and rejoice in the Savior because someday the bridegroom is going to come. All this is going to be put to an end. So we thank you for the hope we have in the gospel. We pray you'll bless us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, Amen. And Hank has a song, and I know you're going to like it. This world is not my home. God bless you, Hank.
This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know, 'cause I made it right with Jesus so many years ago. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, Hank. You just wound up good on that, and that's the news. That's the good news. This world isn't our home. We're just passing through. But boy, to see some of these people, you think they're going to be here forever. Boy, and they stack up their money and they get set and they're going and they're just like that man you remember. He says, I'm going to tear down my barns and big, bigger barns, and I'm going to put this and I'm going to do that. And then God says, and this night thy soul shall require, be required of thee. Then shall whose these things be. And so that's the way we need to. That's what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the hidden treasure, of the parable of the ten virgins. Last week we thought about the hidden treasure. Now it's the ten virgins. And Jesus starts out by saying, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins. Matthew 25, verse 1. One thing to keep in mind when you read this parable, Jesus is talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the consummation of the age. He's talking about the time when he's going to return and time is no more. And then we go and we face eternity. And you'll face eternity with God or the devil, heaven or hell. And it's the decision's up to you. You decide. Nobody decides it for you. You decide it. And so he's talking about when he comes again. And now we must also remember that this parable is for God's people. Sometimes it was for the world. Sometimes he's talking to the world, the unsaved people. But in this parable, he's talking to his people. He's talking to his followers. The parable is not intended for the world. It's not given to the unsaved, the unbelieving, and those who reject Jesus. It's given to God's people. Also keep in mind that Jesus is talking about the matter of service. He's not talking about dealing with other people, but Jesus is talking about the matter of life. And he's saying that in this matter of life, and there's a serving of the Lord, and then you have to take this and use it for honor God. He's talking to the Christians, to the believers. He's talking about the matter of life itself, of who we are, of our inmost being, of exactly who we are and how we are with the Lord. And let me remind you, no one can really know our innermost being but God alone. You don't know exactly what's in my heart, and I don't know what's in your heart. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, outward we may be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were, and you can give them credit, they were good, morally upright people. They did everything just right. But inside of them, God says, when you look inside, on the outside, you're just like a beautiful whited sepulcher. And then he says, on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You're rotten. You would never guess that the way they live. They live so perfect. Only God knows the heart. And in this parable of the 10 virgins, the heart is going to be disclosed. Because when Jesus comes again, the hearts and thoughts and innermost parts of our being is going to be exposed. It's going to be disclosed. It's going to be shown. And that which you can't see now, then you will see in that day. Because the heart will be exposed and nothing will be hidden from the eyes of the Almighty. In this parable, the bridegroom is away. He's absent. And they are, though they expected that he would come again, he would come back. And they're waiting for him. And so they wait and they wait. And afterwards they wait so long, and then pretty soon they get tired. And it says they all slumbered and slept. While they wait, they slumbered and slept. Now there's some people that say, that thing, that's so bad. He says that they're just so wicked. They should be awake and alert. No, that's not the point at all. It's not wrong to slumber and sleep. You got to do that. And so while they wait, they sleep. That's just fine. That's not the problem. We'll see what the problem is. It has to do with the innermost being in their heart, not whether their eyes are closed, see? So they're sleeping. And then at the night, in the night came the cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him." Wow, then came the testing, bolt out of the blue, the testing for which there was no appeal. Everything is set now. You have it or you don't have it. The king is there. The bridegroom is there. The king is there. And there's no middle ground. There's no gray area. It is or it isn't. It's black or it's white. You're in or you're out. It's heaven or hell. That's all settled. It's not going to be changed one bit because of death, where everything is set just the way we die. And if we belong to the Lord, we're forever with the Lord. And if we don't belong to the Lord, we're forever with Satan. And you choose. It's your choice. If I could choose for you, I'd pick the Lord Jesus every time. But that's up to you. God has made it so you have to do that. You have to make the choice. So 5 of the virgins heard the cry. They awoke with a start. They adjusted their lamps. They trimmed the wicks. And you know, we used to have out on the farm, we used to trim the wicks. That means you used to cut the top of the wick off. Well, you didn't, not while it's burning, of course. While the thing, you fill it with oil, kerosene. We had kerosene or oil. And then you clip off that wick. Because if you don't, then it'll have a little edge on it. And when it's lighted, it'll stick out the side and it'll get the lamp all black. And so they trim it, and then it gives the most light. They trimmed their wicks. They were all ready. The bridegroom is going to go in. And lo and behold, they're ready, except. 5 of them had no oil in their lamps. The other 5 virgins did exactly the same thing, but in their case, there was the oil. The flame burst. The first 5 had the oil in the lamp, and so the flame burst forth. There could be no question about it. The oil was there because it was shown in the beautiful light that was showing forth, and the beautiful flame there was there to brighten up the whole house. And shone out in the darkness, there was light. And then in panic, those without the oil, 5 of them didn't have oil. And in panic, they say, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Verse 8. And the answer is no. For they could not do that. They could not give away the oil they had. Now, some people criticize these people, and there's always a critic. Believe me, don't worry about the critics. They're all over the place. They're under every rock and stone and every bush. And the critics get so good, they can find fault when there isn't fault. You say, oh, you can't do that. Well, listen, Buster, they found fault with Jesus and he was perfect, didn't they? They criticized him. So the critics were there. So when the critics come around, don't pay any attention to them. Keep your eyes on Jesus and move on. So some of the critics, they criticize the five for not sharing their oil, and they say, it's not the Christian thing. It's not that. You ought to share what you have. Shame on you girls, or you stingy little old tightwads. You ought to help out your people. But listen, friend of mine, listen. There are some things we cannot share. There are some things we cannot share. Christian character. I can't give my character to anybody else, and they can't give it to me. It's impossible. We cannot share our salvation. It's a personal thing that you have to receive Christ yourself personally, if you reject him, you have to pay that price. And so you can't, that's some things you can't share that. You can't share Christian stature. That is the things that taken years to take, that you are practicing so much to live the Christian life and to live an honorable life, and you stand there with a good Christian character. You can't give that to anybody else. You can't share the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, that only one can do that. And you say, I see you have joy. Give me your joy. I can't give you my joy. It's something that either you have or you don't have. And if you don't have it, it's because you didn't walk with the Lord. You didn't take Christ. You didn't take the Lord. You weren't born again. You can't share that. You can't share fellowship with God. There are some people that are so happy with the Lord. They have that great faith and that great strength. And no matter what happens, they rejoice in this wonderful Savior. And it doesn't matter how it's a good day or a bad day or whether it breaks right or not. They have that wonderful faith. I can't give you my faith, and you can't give me your faith. So there are some things, even the rewards. We can't give our rewards to anybody else. Anybody else can't share their rewards with me. I know when we get to heaven, my wife's going to have a bigger crown than I have. I know that. I used to tell her, Beulah, you miss, she was just such a dear Christian, and oh, I'm going to tell you, she had more faith than I did. And she lived that Christian life, and I used to tell her, Beulah, when we get to heaven, God's going to give you a great big crown. And then I'm going to come up there, and God will say, can you find a skull cap somewhere? See, I can't give her. I know she'd share that crown with me. She can't do it. And so don't get after these poor women, these poor virgins. They can't do it. So they say to the five foolish ones, go to the merchants and get oil, which they did. And they did go and get it, but when they came back, the doors were closed, and they couldn't come in, and they were out. They were out. So that's the picture that Jesus is painting in this parable. It's the picture of the end of the age. It's the picture of the end of time. It's the picture when Jesus Christ returns with great power and might. And when the absent Lord who is away now will come, and he's going to come. Mind you, the absent Lord is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back, and people live today. I shudder when I hear of some of the things, and some of the things I see and hear on television. I shudder for these people, because that great King is going to come back. And he's not going to come back as the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. He's going to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with judgment. And that's what he did with these poor girls. The door was closed and they couldn't come in. They were out and forever out, and they never could go into that glorious banquet. And so in this parable, the 10 virgins, we have a picture of the visible church. The church down there at 6th and Lincoln or wherever it is, the church that has the windows and the doors, that's the visible church. And in that visible church, we have those who really know the Lord and those who love the Lord. And we have those who pretend to know the Lord. We have those who have the oil and those who have pretend to have the oil, but they don't have. And they stand sit by sit, pew by pew. Maybe it's a husband and a wife. And they sit together, and they're all together, and you can't sift them out like the wheat and the tares. They said to Jesus, the wheat and the tares looked alike. And they said to the Lord, shall we tear out the weeds, take out those tares? And Jesus says, no, leave them alone. Leave them alone until the judgment. That's my business to job. And so they all look alike. The wheat and the tares look alike. And the 10 virgins all look alike. And there they are, just as big as you please. They all have a lamp. They all trim their lamps. They're all together as one. They slumber and they sleep together. They're all wakened together. They expect the bridegroom together. They'll go forth to meet the bridegroom. The pretenders play the game just right to the end. They are identical, but oh my God Almighty, there comes a dividing asunder. And you can't fool God. Oh, the foolish, it is written, they took no oil. They had been careless, to say the least, and perhaps presumptuous. We'll be all right. I hear those people say, when I meet God, I got more good than bad. I'll be all right, presuming that that's the way in. And God says it is never by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, and we have to call in the name of the Lord. As many as received him, to them gave he power, become the children of God, even of them believe on his name. You have to receive Jesus. Him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out, but you have to come to him and confess your sins. And so you just don't presume, you see. Of the wise that are written, they took their oil. They were genuine. They were truly obedient. They were true believers. They had the oil because they were sincere and they were honest, and they represent those people of God who received Jesus Christ as Savior. That's who they stand for. And what is the difference then between the two groups? One had oil, the other didn't have oil. That was it, boiled down to that. One of them had oil, one of them didn't have oil. And what is the verdict? What is the end? It's the voice of Jesus. Those who didn't have the oil were not genuine. They were only pretending. They really weren't born again. They really weren't prepared. And he says, what does he say? I know you not. He doesn't say, I knew you and then you sinned and so I'd taken you out of the book of life. I knew you, but you sinned. You didn't do the right thing. He said, I never, ever knew you. You never were mine. Because if we were really his, he will never say that to you or to me if we have Jesus in our heart. See? I know you not. Those who had the oil entered into the marriage feast. It's the picture then when Jesus comes and they have no oil. Oh, they have the symbols and they have the ceremonies and they have the rituals and they sing the hymns and they go through all the motions and they wear a cross and they like the hymns and they like the sermons, but they don't have any oil. They're pretenders. They have everything right except the one thing they must have, and that is the oil. The oil. Now, what is this oil business? The oil that keeps the flame burning. It is the password and the passport to the marriage feast. It's the all-important thing. You can't go to the marriage feast of the Lamb unless you have that oil. And would you have guessed it? You never would have guessed it, but they didn't have it. They looked like the rest. They acted like the rest, but God Almighty sifted them out in a minute. You know, there's a story of the man, and he gave a great banquet. And anybody that came, they gave him a gown. Everybody wore a gown, so they all dressed the same. And in this story, Jesus says, there came one man, and he says, I don't need your gown. My clothes are good enough. And he says, you should have a gown. Everybody has a gown. I don't need a gown. I'm good enough. And when he got in there, and then they had the whole huge banquet, and then the king comes in. And it shows the divine scrutiny, the divine eye, the eye of God. Of all those people, he sees the one man without the garment, without the gown. And so the king accosted him and he says, friend, how camest thou in hither not wearing a gown? And the man says, well, I did a lot of good works and I paid my dues and I did all that. You know what the man said? He was speechless. When he met the king, you won't say anything. And if you want to say something to the king, I'll give you a suggestion. Write it on a piece of paper and hand it to the king, because you will be spellbound. And that's what happened to these people. And so, and God says, in a split second, these people fooled the girls without oil, fooled the others, everything. In a split second, it was wide open. They had it, and they didn't have it. Watch ye therefore. Ye know not the day, the hour that the Lord returns. And we watch, and watch that you have the oil. Now the oil, what is the oil? The all-important oil. Well, look at the Bible. And all throughout the Bible, even in the New Testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That's all there is to it. The lamp burning in the holy place is the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the oil in the ritual of the priests and the kings. That's the Spirit coming upon the man. It's always a portrayal and typical of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. Unless you have the Holy Spirit of God within us, we shall be rejected at last. We can run with God's people. We can sing the hymns and we can say the amens and we can know the biblical sounds and the biblical words and we can be baptized and we can have communion and we can have confirmation. You can have circumcision. You can fly to the moon if you want to. You can do all of that. You can even be called a reverend. Can you imagine that? And when we can deceive everybody around us and they'll think that we're just the most holy thing they ever did see. But when they come to God Almighty, he's going to say, you have no oil. You are none of mine. I never, ever knew you. Depart from me. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes and he tells us that we can have this wonderful Savior. And he tells us that when coming with the Savior, we can have the Holy Spirit. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how you accept Jesus Christ, you just pray and you say in your own words, and you just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, just use your own words. And just ask Jesus to ask him to come to your heart, take away your sins and make you pure and clean. And then when you do that, then you thank him and you tell somebody. And this is what happens when you make that prayer. When you make that prayer, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit takes you and takes me, when I was a little boy accepting Jesus, a poor lost sinner in my sins, headed for hell. And he takes the sins and he washes them all away. And he takes that vile, clean, filthy sinner of all of our sins and he cleanses us in the blood of Christ and he baptizes us and puts us into the body of Christ and we become a part of the body of Christ, the invisible church. And he gives us the Holy Spirit when he does that. And the Holy Spirit enters our heart and our life. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, ye must be born of water and of the Spirit. The water means the Word of God. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And when we accept Jesus Christ and make that prayer, and you say, I don't know how to pray, just talk to Jesus. You can do that. You talk to your neighbor all the time. Just talk in the these and the thous. Use them if you can. I can do it pretty good, but you don't need the thee and the thou. You just talk to Jesus, see? And when you do that, then we're told, St. Paul says, now he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8, verse 9. Paul says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the oil. You are none of God's. You don't belong to God. You're for the five virgins that are foolish, and you'll never enter in because you don't belong to God. He says, the apostle writes, know ye not, Paul writes, know ye not that ye're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. And to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that precious oil, we have that Holy Spirit. And you will never have that until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon his name. Jesus says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You have to have Jesus, and with the coming of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit comes into us, it's all settled. It's all done. It's all taken care of. We will never be lost. He says that, he says in John chapter 10, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So he says, I'm the good shepherd, and I paid my life, and I gave my life, and I was raised again. And if you put your faith in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, he will take you in his hands. And he says, I hold him in my hand, and they shall never perish. And my Father, which is greater than all, holds me in his hands. So that Jesus holds us in his hands, and the whole heavenly Father holds Jesus in his hands, and we can never perish, ever, ever. And that means that we have that Holy Spirit, and we have that oil, and we belong to God. Oh, I am praying today that this wonderful Lord Jesus will come into your heart because you ask him in. He'll never come in unless you ask him. He says in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. And I have the suspicion, I have the feeling that right now all over the world, Jesus is talking to people's hearts. He's knocking at your door. You say, well, I don't hear any noises and I don't hear any voices. No, but you have a feeling, don't you? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You won't hear voices and see visions and have flashes of fire, but there's just something says, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And so he says, I stand at your heart's door and knock. If any man, that means it doesn't matter what your sins may be. And I have people talk to me all so every so often that says, I know God will have nothing to do with me. And I said, why, you know, God will forgive you. He says, no, he won't, because I've sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. I sinned in his face. He'll never forgive me. Well, listen, Buster, don't forget the grace of God. And it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve that Jesus would pay for my sins, but he did it. It's grace. And so what you need to do is you make that prayer. And as you pray, you tell Jesus. And Billy Graham says, if maybe there's some big sin you especially want to name, name it. But just confess your sins, and then the Lord Jesus will come into your heart. And with that Holy Spirit, with the Lord Jesus comes the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he says he will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He will be with us until we get to heaven, all the way to heaven. That oil, the Holy Spirit, is there and will never be turned away. And so I'm praying that you'll do that. And if you do, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can write to us, or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want the little pamphlet on salvation, you just say salvation. If you want the one on suicide, just do that. We send it on a free will offering basis, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you accept Jesus especially, if you write to us, we'll send you some literature, and it'll help you get started in the Christian life. And you will find the most joy that you can ever find. I'm not saying you'll get rich, and I'm not saying you'll be healed of your diseases, and I'm not saying that he's going to take you out of the fiery furnace, but I am saying this, that he will forgive you your sins, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you, and he'll help you through the hard times of life and the troubles and trials of life, because he loves you and he'll care for you. And I think of the persecuted church. I think of it so often. Of those that are without their homes and they're destitute and they're immigrants and they're lost and maybe their family's all broken up and maybe dad has been martyred or even mother or some of the children. My God, they kill the children. And I think of them, and you're going to have to stay and go through it, but God will help you through it. He'll give you a strength that you never had before because he loves you and he knows what you're going through, and you're going through it for his name. And he's going to honor you for that someday. So we want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the multitudes that are opening their heart to you right now. Thank you, dear Jesus. And then we want to pray for those who are having the troubles and the trials of life, and some of them in the hard places, Lord, where they're loved one has been taken, or maybe they've been scattered around as a family. They don't know who's where or what. And just comfort their hearts and help them to know that you are with them. You're with them in their troubles and their trials, just as you were with the children of Israel in Egypt. You were there with them in those trials, and you carried them through and eventually gave them their own, took them to their promised land. And so you'll be with us. Someday we'll see that promised land, the gates of heaven, and we'll be wherever with you. So bless your people wherever they might be. And dear Heavenly Father, we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank all of you for writing. Be sure to get that down. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We need to have your help. If you think this is something God needs, God wants, then ask Him what you should do about giving. And pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And then someday we'll come to the last day on earth, the last day of our life. And the Lord Jesus come will take us, and He'll take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we'll see the golden city, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what we have to look forward to. And it's all because of Jesus, but you have to have Jesus. So just take Him, trust Him, love Him. And let you know that He loves you, and Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we'll be looking forward to next week. The Lord willing, we'll gather around the throne of God again. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.